Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far. That was Brian Callahan speaking. Wanted to bring you all of that. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
A little bit different tone from Mr. Callahan this week, as should be, after the big win over the Raiders. So nice to hear that. And maybe go out there and do it again on Sunday. So, yeah.
I feel like everybody has – he's used the phrase, Tim used the phrase with us yesterday, that the sky's a little bluer, coffee tastes a little better. Everything's just better after a win.
Everything is better after a win. So, and look, I think Paul Kuharsky had a good point this morning about if you need to play a team after the game you just had, the Raiders are the perfect team because they're not – they're probably better than you are, but they're not that good. And they got beaten down by the Colts last Sunday. So this is a good matchup for the Titans, one they possibly could win.
100%.
I'm all for that.
We're going to be talking about that today. Coming up at 12:30, who we got?
We got our good friend Walt Wells, head coach of Eastern Kentucky, best friend of the show, best friend of mine. They play Austin Peay on Saturday up in Richmond. So we'll talk to the coach. Plus, we got some portal questions we're going to ask, the things we need to clear up about. I sound like I'm going down an inner tube, which is awesome. And we'll talk about portal. Can guys opt out now? Can they play now? They stay with the team now, even though they made attention to transfer? Just a lot of nonsense these coaches got to deal with. So we'll clear it up with this. But that's a big game between Austin Peay and Eastern Kentucky on Saturday.
We will, definitely talk about that. And then at 1 o'clock today, we will start our weekly visits with a Preds player. And who else? The captain, Roman Josi, will join us.
Love it.
So looking forward to that.
I got my questions ready to go. But I might not be part of this. You might say, I got to sit my Preds questions to Chase.
Yeah.
And he approves them, yes or no. And he's brutally honest.
I
think today he might be brutally honest with me. I might not be.
No, you might just need to take that one off. Full disclosure.
Hey, pal.
Full disclosure.
Yes.
I recorded with him this morning.
What? Tell me.
I know.
Bastard. That's the end of you. No, that's fine.
But look, I'm excited for you guys to hear it because, and I said this to him in the interview, you just look relaxed. You feel and he was like, I am. I'm just having fun, I think that can be a really dangerous thing for a team if they all are kind of like, hey, we're just going out here and playing. We're
right.
Playing our game. There's no pressure. There's no worry. If you get a team that can all do that and have that determination at the same time, you never know what's going to happen.
So it's a reset, all right?
Yep.
I mean, now you got everything. Look, that game tomorrow night against Columbus, I would treat that as if that's game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. With that being said, you started 0-5 last year, right?
Yep.
Start 1-0. Just make that game the most important game in Predators franchise history. Start out 1-0. And I'm telling you, I think you start out 1-0. Any team start 1-0, you get off on the right foot.
Some of you are probably going to say you're only saying this because of flagship, whatever. You can think whatever you want. I truly feel this way. You know how, if you're watching an old-school wrestling match back in the day, Stone Cold and The Rock, and, as soon as they ring the bell and Steve Austin just jumps on him and starts beating the crap out of him? I think that's what you're going to see tomorrow. I think the Predators are going to open up a can, and Columbus is going to be the victim.
It's a pretty good team to start with Columbus, I think.
It is. It is. But I think the Predators are just – they're pissed off. They know last year wasn't who they truly were. You got 5 or 6 guys that played below their abilities, Josi being one of them, and there's a lot of doubt. You got an 18-year-old kid that, as Andrew Burnett has now confirmed, is making his debut in Brady Martin.
Wow.
He's going to play tomorrow. He's going to center the first line. Oh, why are you having a young kid centering the? They're just kind of
who the hell's that?
That I don't know. It's kind of Vince McMahon-y,
right.
You're fired.
Just win tomorrow night. Just win tomorrow night. I don't care how you do it.
Just win, baby.
Just win and get it done and go forward with that. So we'll be downtown tomorrow. I'll be excited for that.
Real quick, I don't know if we want to ask Walt about this, but On3 put this out there. So we're going to Vegas this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
As someone that is employed by a college team, you can't really bet, right?
Correct.
The NCAA has approved a rule allowing college athletes and staff to bet on professional sports. To become a new rule, the proposal must be approved by all three NCAA divisions. I mean, is that Pandora's box?
I think they're already betting.
Well, of course they are.
Right?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Look, of course they are. And look, here's the other thing. For instance, we're gonna run into some folks that are employed by the Tennessee Titans. They can't go sit down at a blackjack table. They don't play a snap of football. They can't do anything. Like, they can walk into a casino and meet somebody at the bar, but they cannot go to a roulette table or a blackjack table or anything.
Well, maybe I can't either.
I think you can. I think it's different for...
I'll find out.
I would check. I would definitely find out.
Sure.
But like, that I think is stupid. Because it's like, what does X player or X employee or whatever, employee X, playing blackjack have to do with the football game?
Plenty.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
I get, but
Jim Wyatt can't go bet on the Titans because he knows stuff that the public doesn't know.
Sure.
But like, what does playing roulette have to do with that?
Maybe you get down so much. I mean, I don't know. There are different tentacles and layers of all this. How about this? I can't. I love blackjack and roulette. I love that world, but I'm not allowed to do anything else, which is good.
So we will talk about that and so much more. Coming up on today's edition of the Chase and Big Joe Show, we'll get to our question of the day next here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We're still in a Sinatra mood, huh? Are we just going full on a Rat Pack just because of Vegas?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
I'll throw you some songs, maybe not Rat Pack, but some you know what? We're going full shuffle today. How about
Sammy Davis Jr.?
We can do some Sammy. But I'm saying full shuffle. Like, this is going to be like my listening to my music. You might get Sinatra. You might get Lady Gaga. You might get Johnny Cash. It's all over the place.
I like it.
We'll have some fun with that. One Sammy Davis request before I leave it to today that we'll get in.
You got to leave it too. So that's okay.
We have the MTSU Missouri State game tonight, 6:30 down on campus. It's on ESPN2. So. Will be hear me on 93.3, Chase.
You can. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock with Chip and Company and everybody involved.
J.P. Plant and Mr. Palmer. And then Chip and I will hit there at 6 and the game at 6:30.
I love that everyone refers to him as Mr. Palmer.
As you should.
What is his nickname, the old pro?
The old pro.
Yep. So you can listen to that. Also, we're going to be telling you about this a lot over the next few days. We're going on a road trip out to Las Vegas. We're going to be at the Circa, which is, for those of you familiar, is on Fremont Street downtown. So Old Vegas is where we're going to be staying. But D-Mace is coming out Friday night. We're going to do our show from the pool, stadium swim on Friday. D-Mace will do his show. And then Friday night, the Overhang Bar at Circa, which is right there by the book, you can come hang out with us. And enter for a chance to win tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. And just go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information.
This is all like I'm in a dream right now. I like want to pinch myself. Like, this is all coming. I've never been to Vegas, so it'll be a time to remember, I guess.
You are either going to – you're going to go and be like, okay, that was fun. I got to go back. Or you might be like, I'm good.
Or call Dr. Crane and say, hey, do you have an extra kidney I could borrow just for the weekend? Because mine's gone. All that good times. All right, so our question of the day, and it's one last night, because I came across a movie last night that nobody, it's a movie in the 80s. It's one of the best movies, I think, to me, but nobody talks about it.
The one you get like from the back room? Or?
No. It's Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman and Bill Murray.
Oh, wow.
It's a great movie. It's one of the best movies ever, but nobody's ever, because it's 40 something years ago. So with the trip out there, I'm going to download some movies on my phone, and I need to know, what is your all-time favorite movie that nobody's ever heard of?
Ooh.
Your all-time favorite movie that nobody's ever heard of. Now, not like Shawshank or A Few Good Nothing, no. Your all-time favorite movie that nobody has ever heard of,
off the beaten path.
615-737-1025.
Our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. Man, that's a tough one.
Dr. Crane, any suggestions from your end? Okay, he's working hard back there. There's one that comes up that nobody ever saw, and it's with Daniel Stern, Patrick Dempsey. It's called Coupe de Ville. It is one of the best movies ever made that nobody saw. I'm telling you, it's about three brothers who travel cross-country to buy Coupe de Ville for their father that they hate. And the purpose of this trip was the three brothers to come together as one. And I am telling you, that movie by the end, you're in stitches. You're in tears. You laughed. You cried. It's called Coupe de Ville. Patrick Dempsey and Daniel Stern. I mean, it is an amazing movie. But nobody's ever heard of that movie. Ever.
Right. Well, I mean, there's one that kind of popped in my head that I think people are going to – some people have heard of, but it wasn't, like, super popular.
Okay.
Do you remember there was a movie called 6 Days, 7 Nights with Harrison Ford and David Schwimmer.
Is that the plane crash?
Yeah.
Never saw it.
What's her name?
Anne Heche.
Anne Heche.
She passed away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I remember, but I never saw it.
Yeah.
Good?
I mean, because, like – it's Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And then Ross from Friends is like he's basically Ross from Friends which is funny.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was like a blockbuster, but it was one that I saw and I was like, oh, that's a good movie.
Okay. All right. Dr. Crane?
Richard Jewell. It's about the Atlanta bombing for the Olympics back in the day.
But that's a Clint Eastwood movie. Everybody saw that.
Did they?
Yeah. Who played Richard Jewell? I saw it. It's a fantastic movie. Fabulous movie.
Yeah, the security guard. Yeah.
That, Atlanta bombing?
Yeah. For me, that's off the beaten path.
Okay, all right. Well, to each his own. Yep. So, yeah, those are the ones that the movies that nobody knows, that you love, that you're just like, I got to watch that.
U571?
Is that with
McConaughey?
And Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Isn't he in that one?
It's a World War II.
Heard of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a couple of people might know that one, but I love that movie. I'm trying to think who else is in that. That's
Harrison Ford's not in that one, is he? He's another.
No, it's Bill Paxton. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So it's McConaughey, Bill Paxton, John Bon Jovi, Harvey Keitel's in it, David Keith is in it.
Okay. That's pretty good. Another one that is really good that nobody saw was a movie called Fandango with Kevin Costner.
Yep, I know that one.
Judd Nelson. And they graduate college, and they're going off to Vietnam the next day. And two guys are going to Canada. They're not going. One guy's going to Vietnam, and one of the guys is going to do his own thing. And it is a wonderful – I think it might have been Costner's, like, second movie. Fandango is that movie.
4822 has a good – I don't know Rolling Kansas. And then Sex Drive. I have seen that. That one's actually pretty funny, I think if it's the one I'm thinking of.
What's Rolling Kansas?
Yeah.
These are two separate movies?
Yeah.
All right. Rolling Kansas and Sex Drive?
Yeah. What's his name's in it? Seth Green. Green's in it as like an Amish guy.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. But it's like a stupid college comedy kind of thing. But it's funny. I like it. It has some funny parts to it. But yeah, Rolling Kansas. I don't know that one.
I'm writing these down, folks, so I need these.
IMDb. let's see. James Roday is in it. I don't know anybody else, really.
All right. This is what I like. I like this. Rolling Kansas.
Would you count Inception as one of those movies that's off the beaten path?
No, I mean, that was pretty.
With DiCaprio?
Yeah.
No.
It's just been a while.
No. I mean, there's movies that nobody's ever heard of that you love. Nobody's ever heard of Coupe de Ville. Nobody.
I got another one. They Live with Roddy Piper.
That was popular because of Roddy Piper. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We've all, I mean, so something that's dear to you that's like you have to explain because nobody's, like Rolling Kansas is a great example. It's about marijuana, by the way.
Andrew from Dover says, my choices would be Flywheel, Facing Giants, and the Marvel classic Howard the Duck.
Flywheel. All right. Writing that down. This is why we're doing this.
Scott
like this.
Says, blood in, blood out, bound and bound by honor.
Okay.
I don't know about that. Brian says, a great low-key movie. I believe it's called Chief, where it's Chef, where a chef leaves a high-end restaurant to open a food truck.
Oh, okay.
I have seen that movie. It's on Tubi. It's good.
Okay. All right, so that's exactly what we're talking about. Time's flying today. Okay, sorry.
All right, we will get back to this in a little bit, but we got to talk to the coach, Walt Wells, head coach, Eastern Kentucky, going to join us coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday. We always love having our next guest on. We refer to him simply as the coach. He is Big Joe's best friend and the head coach at Eastern Kentucky University. Coach Walt Wells is with us. Coach, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great today. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're fantastic. You got to be – I know, look, every game's important, but Austin Peay, you know, being not too far from us here and – obviously a rival. They've had a good season. I know you got to be fired up for that game this weekend.
Oh, no question about it. I'm just glad that the rain got out of here. We got a beautiful sunny day. Good chance to get out and practice. We had a good one yesterday. So Austin Peay's got a great team. They've done a great job there. And I know they're coming in riding high and ranked as high as they've ever been and beat an FBS opponent. So, I mean, they're a good football team, so it's going to be a fun Saturday and Saturday night, I guess, and looking forward to it.
How do you feel about your squad to this point? I know you've had some tough ones against Louisville, Marshall, but where do you think you guys are at this point in the season?
Yeah, right now I think we're coming off week at a good time. It was time for us to do some self-scout and do some, looking at people at different positions and some different things. 2-1 in FCS play. So, you know, we lost to West Georgia, who Austin Peay just beat, both of them ranked. So I think we're growing offensively. Defensively, we're one of the, you know, top teams right now in FCS, but we've got to score some points and play a little better on special teams, which I think we'll be able to do on Saturday if we do what we're supposed to. You know how that goes. Sometimes when you got young, inexperienced players, they seem to want to do some things. They listen to the wrong voice sometimes, so to speak.
Oh, I get that. Coach Walt Wells, Eastern Kentucky's with us. We got a ton of questions for you. First off, what is going on? We've asked Tim Hasselbeck this, other people. How do you coach guys that drop the football at the half-yard line? Why do they do that, and what do you tell them?
Well, I'll be honest with you. We were fortunate to have that happen for us on a pick six opportunity that Houston Baptist had, and they dropped it right there, and it cost them an opportunity to get back into the game. And, you know, you just got to talk to them about, listen, I get you want to do this and do that, but your number one goal is to cross the goal line with the ball. And it comes down to, is your act more important than the team's act? And you just got to continue to preach that. Your individualism can show once you get into the goal line and into the end zone, and you do all that and you want to do your celebrations. Those are, I get it. Kids love to do that. I like it. I think it's fun to get the team hyped up, get the crowd hyped up. But I mean, guys, if you want to be a clown, then drop it before you get in there and you're going to get all the publicity you want that away.
Okay. So, something you just said that I was glad to hear. You said you like it. You like them showing the individuality. But I feel like, and maybe you're not in this category, but some coaches have kind of had to adapt to that because you know this. Way back in the day, that it's like, hey, you score a touchdown, you run back to the sideline, you hand the ball to the ref, like all those things. So we're seeing more individuality today, which I think is great. But I feel like these kids are also missing where the line is.
Right. And well, it comes down to the team is the most important thing, and affecting the team in a positive way and creating value for yourself in a positive way is what you're trying to do. I get it. Everybody, we've individualized the greatest team sport as much as we can by some of the things that we're allowing to go on. All right. And that's how it is. And that's what we got to do. But you can't take it onto the field. You can't take it into the locker room. And, you know, your teammates have got to hold you accountable when that happens too. And so when you do make that mistake like that, you got to hold them accountable as teammates. because that's who you're affecting. You're affecting your team, and you're affecting them. Now, you look at what happened with Arizona against the Titans. You looked at there was another one that happened a week or two ago, and then I saw seen it happen two or three times in college football. It just affects the team. And football is the greatest team sport. It is. And so when you do those things, you just need to understand, is it really that important that you put the ball out like that as you're going in there? Now, I get it if three guys are trying to tackle you and you're trying to dive and put it out there. I understand it. But when you're wide open and you know if your hands are big enough to hold – I mean, some of these guys, they can put their hand around a football and their fingers touch. But some of these guys, you know, can't do that. It's just common sense, and it's taking it – you know, you got to take the individualism out of it. But like I said, when they get in the end zone, do what you want to do as long as you don't get a penalty. That's what I tell our guys. Listen, I can't tell you what they're going to call. If they call a penalty and it hurts us, then my ass is coming after you.
As it should. Okay, I get that. All right, we're talking to Walt Wells, Eastern Kentucky. They take on Austin Peay this weekend. Last year, your guys were down. Was it 24-0 and y'all won in overtime?
Yeah, it was something like that. I can't remember the score altogether because it was not looking very good for us at halftime. And I remember challenging our defense at halftime not to let them score, and we had to get multiple possessions, and so we needed some three and outs and some well, they couldn't get a couple first downs and things like that, and we were fortunate enough to do that in the second half and get it to overtime. And. And then Josh Carter, our tailback, made a great play on the second play overtime, and they had to kick a field goal, and then we scored a touchdown and walked off. So it was a great game.
With that being said, so much turnover in the portal. Can you bring that game up to them? Can Austin Peay's coach bring that up to his team? Because there's so many new faces. That game doesn't mean a lot to all the new guys, right?
No, I don't think it does as much as it used to, obviously. And, you know, just like us, we had 27 seniors. So we graduated 27 people, and then two of our kids, you know, I'm sitting here watching one kid that's at Purdue and one kid that's at Virginia that played the whole game, you know, on defense and offense for us. So, I mean, you don't see that. Their quarterback was at Mississippi State. So all he remembers is Mississippi State beating us, you know, 39-0 the first game of the year. And so, you know, it's those types of situations with the portal and everything. You know, the rivalry is still probably there, but it's not, you know, from year to year, it's because of institution to institution and how it's become one.
I see that, you know, with you guys, I mean, you play the big boys, the Power Four, and it's not as – the gap is not as wide as it used to be, right? I mean, there's a lot of good football players on your level, group of five level, that are now competing because they want to show how good they are too, right?
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there is some of that that goes on. It depends on what year, you know, what year you are. Like if you look into our league, Tarleton State, who's ranked, I think, second or third in the league, they have, I think, 40 to 45 juniors and seniors playing for them. Whoa. I mean, that's you know, very rare. Like us last year, we had 27 guys that were seniors, you know, not all of them played, but there were, you know, 27 seniors on our team. You don't get that rarity like that as much as you used to because of, you know, people are plucking all our players. So I think you're right in some ways, Joe, but I also think year to year it can change because you may think you're going to have a good team, but I know right now, you know, there's guys evaluating every one of our players at P4 level and deciding whether or not in January, if this, when this thing passes this week, in January, whether or not that window is going to be open and whether or not they want them to come be a part of them. Like last year, we lost our linebacker in January, but our offensive tackle that was an All-American, he didn't go in until, you know, 7 days of spring practice. And so, you know, I'm sitting there thinking we got him. And then some agent from Dallas calls him out of the blue. He never met him and got him to go in the portal and had him at Purdue in 2 weeks.
Good Lord.
And guess what? He's not on the team there anymore.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, be careful what you want, right?
Well, yeah, and the other kid that went to Virginia, you know, he's not starting, but he's having a heck of a, you know, he's playing a lot over there, and they're having a heck of a year. And, you know, I mean, I get, you know, I understand it all. It's just, you know, it's hard to maintain some continuity at times, and you just got to figure it out and continue to do program building things and team building things. And, you know, you really got to be selective of who you bring into your program. But then how are you selective when you only have, you know, one visit and a couple, you know, months to get to, you know, a couple weeks to get to know them, where, you know, used to you're recruiting guys for 2 years and you got to had them multiple times up on your campus and got to know them. And then, you know, they come through the high school ranks and things like that. So we still do a lot of high school recruiting.
Good. So Walt, on the flip side of that, how much are you and your scouts paying attention to guys that, you know, might have been highly recruited, but they're at a P4 school and they're not playing, and you think, okay, there's a good chance they might become available, and it's kind of the same thing that we've seen the last few years of maybe they want to come to you, play, and then they probably leave again? But how much are you looking at some of those guys?
Well, we are. We do. Like, our nose guard came from Kentucky, University of Kentucky, and he was, played a lot of, won a lot of state championships here in the state, was from Boyle County, which is about 40 minutes from us. We knew all about Tommy, knew we didn't have a chance at him, you know, coming out of high school because he was going to Kentucky, committed early, those type things. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you follow those guys to see what their success is. And if their success is probably not what they are hoping, then you're hoping that, you know, we'll be the place that they want to fall to. And like, he's come in, didn't get a lot of playing time there, but man, he's lighting it up for us. And he's doing a good job for us. And so he's got, you know, 1 year after this. And so hopefully, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, hopefully we get to keep him around, you know. And, you know, but I also know other people, D linemen are hard to find.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you this, so you can clarify things, because we're pretty stupid on this show. So when a guy, like, there was a quarterback at Pittsburgh the other day who declared he's going to enter the portal, all right? When he says that, is he still on the team, or is he not on the team anymore?
No, it depends. Every coach has his different set of rules. Every coach has different things. Like, you can put anything you want to on social media, right?
Yeah.
So they can go out there right now and say, hey, they can be at practice and have somebody post that they're going in the portal. Well, then that coach has got to make the decision. What are you doing? Are you going in a portal? Yeah. Why are you going in a portal? Well, okay. But I want to stick around this year. Well, okay. You know, you make that decision. Do you want him to stick around or not? Or no, you need to go on and just wait to go in the portal. I mean, they can't go into the portal until, you know, if this new rule passes, until January.
Okay, so let me ask you this, all right, and not to put you on the spot. If a player comes to you and you really like him and he says, I'm entering the portal, do you coach him less? Do you say, all right, you're not going to be here long term, I'm going to bench you? I mean, this is not found in the coaching handbook, I'm pretty sure, right?
Well, this is the new coaching handbook you have to look at, all right? Well, how good are you? Okay. What can you, are you going to still practice hard? Are you still going to do the things you have to do to be a part of the program? That's how I look at it. Like, you know, don't come in here and tell me, well, I'm going in the portal, I'm not going to do this. No, then you're not going to be here.
Okay. I get it. All right. So let me ask you this off of that. So
now, I haven't had anybody do that.
Right.
Other than I had a guy do it and say, hey coach, I'm graduating in December, I'm not playing a whole lot. But I am playing some, and I'm going to go somewhere and get my master's paid for and play a year there.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I get that. So I just want you to know so you can plan on that spot being open.
Okay. All right. So when Brent Pry gets fired at Virginia Tech, within that window of the 3 or 4 games and guys can transfer, can they transfer immediately? And if they do, they can't.
No, because you're in school. So right. it still goes back to the old rules like that. You're in school. What they're trying to do is either save themselves from getting injured, save themselves a red shirt, whatever it is. What you don't see And if you kind of followed it, last year and the years prior, there was a ton of kids that were jumping into portal during the season, right?
Yeah, right.
You haven't seen that as much this year because the contracts now are stating that if you don't play, then you don't get paid.
Oh, okay.
So if you went out and bought two chargers and three dogs and you're living in a lavish rental spot and all of a sudden your rev share doesn't show up or your money for NIL doesn't show up and you got to pay bills, then reality's hit. I can't take my ball and go home just because I'm not happy.
Right. All right. So you're still a student regardless. Anything else, student is first and foremost.
Student is first and foremost. And the only time that can happen is if they haven't started school yet.
Okay. That's interesting.
And so it can't happen because most schools don't start until mid-August. Well, then you've already started practicing and you can't do it anyway. So you only had that window in May that you could jump in there and go in unless you were a graduate. And now they're trying to change some of the rules on that. And that should be coming out this week, first of next week, how they're always going to define all this stuff. And they're starting to leak, but I haven't seen anything from the NCAA yet.
All right, so that makes sense because remember when Kiffin left Tennessee to go to USC, Ed Orgeron was on the phone that night with every recruit because the thing was if they went to class the next day, they couldn't leave. And Orgeron, the slimy bastard he is, was trying to tell those kids, come to USC because if you step foot in class, I can't get you. Is that right?
Yeah, and just think, how many years ago was that, Joe?
2010.
All right, so that was, what, 15 years ago?
Yes.
Now that's perfectly legal and actually frowned on if you don't do it that way.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
So that's 15 years later. He's not slimy. He was 15 years ahead of the game.
I'm sure he would tell you that.
Right?
Hey, really?
I mean, it's like I heard a story about him the other day. He's jogging down Miami Beach where he lives at, and he says, I'm recruiting all the one stars to the five stars from there. I know all about all of them. I don't think he's talking about players, though.
Walt Wells is with it. Hey, I want to ask you real quick, and I don't know how much you can or want to comment on this, but there's a report that the NCAA has adopted a proposal to allow student athletes and athletic department staff to bet on professional sports, which is a big shift from the way it used to be. Is this opening up another can of worms?
I don't think so. I mean, sure it is. I mean, every time you change a rule, people are going to find different ways to break the new rule. Okay? I don't see how us gambling on a professional football game is going to affect anything. I really don't, because I mean, I have no say so in that. And I mean, even if I had players that were up there playing, I'm if I call them and say, "Hey, throw this game for me," they're not going to do that. I mean, and that's not how it works. But the problem is there'll be something that generates that away.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a problem with it because nowadays, I mean, here's what I got to worry about. I've got signs over all our urinals in the facility. I've got a sign over all our urinals in the locker room that says don't bet on it and talks about the gambling and the app because all these kids got the app.
Yeah.
And so now FBI is having to research these guys on gambling and how it's going to affect. I mean, I don't know. I'm not smart enough probably to say how it can affect in the future, you know, college people betting on professional stuff. But I am against it in college. I think it's too tempting. And, you know, when somebody gets in a situation, they're going to find any way they can to get out of it. And that might be one way. And, you know, it affects young people's mind. I mean, you get into a lot of things there. That there were reasons that the people before us put all these rules in, like the transfer portal rule, like paying players and all that. And doesn't mean they don't need to be tweaked. And because there were some hard rules against kids or rulings against kids that affected them in negative ways. And because you were just so hardcore on your rule that you created, you know, problems. I mean, there's always exceptions, but I just think all that stuff was put in place for a reason. It's just like right now with college football. We've gone back to 1960 and 70, where it's going to be the haves and have-nots.
Yep.
And that's okay, but that's how it's going to be. I mean, the teams in FBS that thrive on football, you know, your Alabamas, your LSUs, your Georgias, your Floridas, your Tennessees, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, Penn State.
Right.
They're going to have all the pluses. And all the other ones aren't, because, you know, everybody's saying, well, they're dividing all the talent. Well, they are, but they still got all the money. So the best players are still going to go to those certain places.
Sure.
And they're going to keep winning. And because if you keep rolling these kids in and out of universities, I mean, I saw something the other day where a guy had been to 5 universities.
Was his name Walt?
Yeah, not for the reasons that I went to him.
Oh, man. His name was Joe.
I mean, if they're flunking out every 5 minutes, sure, I get that.
Right.
but you know, it's just, I mean, all these rules, I mean, these changes, you know, it's just like anything. They say kids are different. No, they're not. They're the same dang kids. It's just new problems.
Oh, exactly. And, yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, you know, in the 60s, it was the war, right? And it was marijuana. Well, it's still marijuana. You know, it's still this because it's not legal. And, right. You know, and all this, that. And the, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's just generational problems that come around that are new, and you got to navigate them. And that's just like with the transfer portal and the commitment with the money. These kids are finding out what it's like to be an adult at 18. And I don't know if that's really fair.
No, now, it's not.
You know, now you say, hey, there was a draft and kids had to go to war at 18 and find out what that was like. Was that fair? No, that's not fair either, but that's how it was founded, and that's what it was, and that's where we're at. So, I mean, there's all kinds of arguments you hear in this. And bottom line, 75 to 85% of these kids, all they want to do is get an education, line up, and play football.
That's the way it should be. Hey, real quick before you go, I know you and I did about 9 spring breaks together, but
yeah.
Chase and I are headed to Vegas this weekend. Absolutely. Only thing missing is you, man, so – I'll keep our adventures to my heart about our journeys throughout our early youth.
Right. You have a lot of fun out there in Vegas. There's are y'all going to the Raiders? Oh, the Raiders are playing the Titans, aren't
yep.
they?
Yeah, we're going, yes.
We may be doing UNLV Air Force, too.
My first DFO here works at Las Vegas as a I guess he's a DFO kind of type guy out there, too. So I was going to say I can hook you up.
Yeah.
Probably not this late.
No, we got tickets. We're good. No. No, that's fine. We're just going to go out there and have a good time. I always hearken back to our road trips to Florida, and it was always something to remember.
Well, just know this, Joe. My mom's listening. She called me today and said she saw that. So let's keep those road trips to a minimum and let her imagination at 93 years old still work.
Let's put the word mission in front of trips. So we had mission trips.
We were on a mission. That's for sure. We were on a mission, and we felt like it was from God.
That's right. There you go.
There you go. Coach, appreciate it as always. Best of luck this weekend against Austin Peay.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me on. Y'all have a safe trip out to Vegas.
All right. Appreciate you, Coach. Love you.
Coach Walt Wells joining us here on the program. Head coach, Eastern Kentucky. Always appreciate the coach when
get him
he comes
winding
up,
man.
Oh, I know. I love it, though. I love it. That was great. That was
oh,
good
yeah.
stuff.
Who do we got next, buddy?
Coming up next, captain of the Nashville Predators, Roman Josi, will join the show. You'll hear from him on the other side. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game.